The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines, I refer to as USA Inc. Today is a Monday afternoon, hot day here in North Carolina. It is August the 1st, 2016. I mean, wow, the year just, I don't know if it's when you start getting older, if the time just really seems to go by faster, or you're just paying more attention to the calendar as the days roll by. But it's hard to believe it's only 4 months left in 2016. Wow, this year has really gone by very, very, very fast. So today is basically an open forum and news day. Got a couple of news items that I want to share with you that I think you should be aware of. Of course, there are a lot of things that we need to be aware of, but we just simply can't get to them all during a radio program. And that's why I'm so thankful for all the different hosts on Black Talk Radio Network's platform that covers so many vital issues, you know, specifically issues pertaining to black people, but I would say many of the issues pertain to people in general. So very, very appreciative of all the other media producers on our network. All right, so like I stated, today is just about an hour of news and commentary. Today is the first, so that means that the Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station stats are out. I still need to go through them and sort them by program, and so that we can, you know, read the reports that I produce. So over the next 5 days, you will start seeing the reports being issued out to those who have been financial contributors to the Black Talk Media Project, the North Carolina-based nonprofit new media organization that manages and runs the Black Talk Radio Network. So be looking for those over the next 5 days in terms of things I've mentioned in the past about the podcasting statistics, as we had not provided any last month as I ran into some racism and white supremacy and this other platform that I was using for statistics, and they wouldn't allow me to add any more programs. So I'm now using another service that thus far seems to be exactly what I need. So implemented that today, and so next month we'll be able to give a full accounting of the podcast statistics, which are separate from the radio station, and also it would apply to every media producer who is part of the Black Talk Radio Network.com platform, as we'll be able to provide you with more detailed stats than what what you might be getting. So anyway, these are some of the items in the news that I want to share with you today. Again, you can always call in and share any news that you would like to share that you think is important and is not getting any coverage. I do appreciate, as one of the news stories that I'll be talking about was sent to me by a listener and submitted through the website where it says submit your news. And I appreciate the people who, you know, send me news that they think I should be aware of and they think the platform should be aware of. But one of the things I'm noticing about that, though, don't write a complaint. Just don't write a complaint and rant, you know, without giving context or writing it in a news article format so that we can. I'm not going to publish your rants and whatnot. I'm sorry for what people are going through. We're all going through a lot. I'm very interested in your stories, but you have to put them in a story format. You just can't, you know, send me something and it be a paragraph about a rant and expect me to come on air and relay that to the listeners or post it as a blog post to our website. Come on now, you know, let's get it together. If you want us to put stuff out on your behalf, you know, at least format it in a legible manner where people can read it, you know, and it's not just a rant. I'm sorry again, you know, I understand people are under a lot of stress under this system and what have you, but help me to help you get your information out is basically what I'm saying. So anyway, some of the articles I want to share with you today. This one particularly caught my eye. President Obama signs the Monsanto-backed GMO labeling bill into law. It caught my eye because on Tando Radio Show, which comes on at 6 o'clock p.m. on this network, on this station Monday through Friday, but last week they did, I think, more than one program where they were talking about GMOs and the need for people to start growing their own food and what have you, even if it's just starting off with a small garden and supplementing, you know, your vegetables and just cutting down on what you're consuming from the supermarket shelves, because, you know, that food ain't good for you, you know. And I just, if it was good for you, they wouldn't be trying to hide what's in the food. So that caught my eye. We'll be talking about that. I know Brother Davis, I'm reminded, Brother Davis on Wednesday, if y'all missed that program on Tando Radio Show, Wise Wednesdays with Brother Davis, go listen to the last one later tonight, where he talks about, you know, the GMOs and providing solutions. But that's just another shameful act by the CEO of USA Inc., who is definitely in the pockets of these corporations and what have you. I mean, this legislation that he signed into law was widely opposed, but he did it anyway, you know. Another story, Ava DuVernay, I think that's how you pronounce her name, Ava DuVernay. She made the film Selma, that was in theaters. Was that last year or was that earlier this year? I can't recall. But she has a documentary coming out called The 13th. It is going to open at a New York Film Festival in October. Also, the film will be also released on Netflix. So if you are on Netflix, definitely you want to look for that in October the 13th. And the 13th is, if you listen to this program, y'all know what the 13th mean to me, you know, and to many other people on this platform. And we're not talking about Friday the 13th, the movie. We ain't talking about Friday the 13th, the bad luck day or any. No, we're talking about the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. And it is just really, really, how can I describe this feeling? It is just, I don't know, excitement. I don't know if excitement's the right word, but I am just very pleased to see that the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution is being discussed in a bunch of different ways and a bunch of different venues. And it's just becoming part of the national conversation as it pertains to, you know, prison. People, they call it mass incarceration, but we call it the continuation of slavery through the prisons, and that's what the 13th Amendment allowed for. So definitely looking forward to that film, checking that out. And I'll share some of the details with you. Here in North Carolina, a federal judge will hear arguments on blocking the North Carolina HB2 bill. Most people know it as the bathroom bill because it's a law that says that you have to use the bathroom based on what's your birth certificate. If your birth certificate say you was born a male, you got to use the male bathroom. It don't matter if you got breasts now. It don't matter if you had your penis chopped off and turned into a vagina. You still got to go by what's on your birth certificate. I mean, it's just an unenforceable law, really. It's just stupid. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money and what have you. We already have laws on the book that if there's some predator in the bathroom menacing little girls, as they've tried to frame it, you know, well, he can be arrested for that. You know, I mean, come on. He can be arrested for that. But, you know, as I have often pointed out, that HB2 bill has more to do than just the freaking bathroom choices. It has to do with age discrimination. It has to do with gender discrimination, and sex discrimination, and skin color discrimination. I mean, we talked about it last week. I talked about it on this program last week. And so as I read these articles today, again, all they focusing on is the bathroom portion. Now, I have reached out to the ACLU of North Carolina, who is among some of the organizations who are litigating the case, and I have gotten some clarity, and I will share the email that was sent to me by a person working for the ACLU in North Carolina that kind of clears up some things for me, at least, of, you know, whether or not they're going to address these other portions of the bill. All right, Russian warplanes reportedly bombed a U.S. base in Syria. This came out the last week of last month, the last week of July. It was, Brother Dave tells me, it was right before the attempted coup in Turkey, where you had members of the Turkish military, based on some articles I read, aided by the CIA, aided by a former U.S. military general who was a former commander of NATO, aided by him. He was helped coordinating it and all of that. And so right prior to all of that, Russian warplanes reportedly bombed this secret U.S. base in Syria with special forces and the CIA. Again, what the hell are they doing in Syria? They haven't declared war on the government of Syria. What would they declare war on the government of Syria for? Syria hasn't attacked anybody in America, but you know, again, this is all about the global domination of white supremacy. It doesn't matter if you got a showcase black president. That's what proxy racism is, you know, where we have non-white people who aid the system of global racism and white supremacy. And there's a lot of people who don't want to acknowledge these people and the potent weapons that they are, but you know, that's your choice. That's your choice. That is certainly your choice. Looking at it from a battlefield perspective, you don't ignore any weapon that is deployed against you. It's just not common sense. And you had, you know, they study the different militaries of the world, study the different weapons that their opponent utilizes or may utilize against them. I mean, they try to get as much information about that particular weapon, its weaknesses, its strengths, and how can we duplicate this weapon, or how can we, you know, counter the effects or the damage that this weapon will do. It just doesn't make any logical sense whatsoever to ignore any weapons. All right, none. You have to stop allowing yourself to be frozen from taking action or analyzing everything, because, you know, you don't want to focus on what black people are doing to help the system of racism and white supremacy. I mean, this system wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for the help from non-white people. And that's just a plain, that's historical. That ain't my opinion. That's historical. Black men, speaking of proxy racism, you got these black men who join a Confederate group and are being primed to become proxies of racism. Now, I posted a link to the video. I'm going to chalk this up to these dudes being ignorant about the Confederacy, being ignorant about what the Confederacy stood for, and falling for the propaganda that it's about heritage and not hate and what have you. And also, I'm a pin it on the fact that some black people just always trying to appease white people and trying to be buddies with them and whatnot, be buddies with the racists. You know, I ain't talking about just white people. I'm talking about white people with a racist agenda. And it just seems that we always got to, you know, I shouldn't say we, but some of us just always got to be close to Miss Ann. We got to snuggle up to Miss Ann, and Miss Ann going to take care, looking for a white savior or what have you. But anyway, so those are some of the items that I would like to touch upon today. Again, I got a lot of work and ahead of me over the next 5 days and putting together these reports and getting these statistical reports for our media operations out to our donors. Again, we do have the crowdfunding Black Media campaign. It's always going to be ongoing. We have some t-shirts. I've just ordered some more today. I'm looking at also by the end of this month having another design out, so we can continue to raise funds for the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. So, but you can give a donation of any amount. Every little bit helps. You know, I know everybody ain't got deep pockets out there. I wish I could fund everything myself. I wish I could hit the Powerball tomorrow and never had to, you know, ask for donations, but that's not, you know, foreseeably happening anytime soon. So, you know, we have to ask you to support the network that, you know, apparently you find is providing something valuable, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be tuned in. So every little bit helps. If you just gave a donation of $2, it don't matter. You still are going to, for the calendar year, get those statistical reports, because, you know, I'm looking at you as part ownership of the platform. You're funding this public media, and you need to know, you know, what effect your donations are having on our media operations. All right, so I've gotten, I can't think of anything else that I might need to mention in terms of network news. Okay, so let's move on to this first story. Oh, by the way, let me give out the phone number. Because most people, I mean, a lot of people don't listen through Black Talk Radio Network. They listen through the different apps and stuff, so they won't have the phone number. But the phone number, if you want to comment on anything or if you want to share some news, give us a call on the conference line at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1. To signal me, and I'll bring you on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030. You can also hit us up via Skype. That's Black Talk Radio Network is our Skype handle. All right, so let's move on to this first story involving CEO Obama signing this Monsanto-backed bill, which pertains to GMO, genetically modified organism, labeling of different foods and what have you. Many people have fought against that, and, you know, to no avail. President Obama, he heard you, but, you know, he heard Monsanto, you know, was louder, I guess. I don't know. Piece of legislation. This comes to you from the Inquisitor. Inquisitor.com. Of course, I always link to the articles I share with you on the page for today's program. A piece of legislation strongly opposed by Senator Bernie Sanders, GMO labeling advocates, and consumer advocacy groups that creates a federal labeling standard for foods containing GMOs was signed into law by President Barack Obama on Friday. This was last Friday, despite a petition to the White House regarding GMO labeling that exceeded the 100,000 signature goal set by We the People, the petitioning platform established by the federal government. That's the executive branch of the federal government. The petition called the legislation discriminatory against seniors, the poor, and Black and Latino Americans. This is coming from the petition. This is what the petition said. On July 7th, the Senate passed a bill to label genetically modified foods, allowing companies to use QR codes instead of words on the package. It discriminates against low-income families, minorities, mothers, seniors, the disabled, and those without smartphones. In 2007, President Obama said, "We'll let folks know whether their food has been genetically modified because Americans should know what they're buying. All Americans should know what they're buying, not just the privileged." Only 21% of Americans surveyed have scanned QR codes. QR code software must be downloaded. Just 27% of seniors and 50% of low-income Americans on smartphones. 42% of Blacks and 36% of Latinos have had to let their smartphone service lapse. President Obama, stand up for all Americans. Veto this discriminatory legislation. And so, you know, as you know by now, he signed it into law anyway. This is just crazy. This is deception. Intentional deception, just making it hard for people to find out what's in the food. And so again, another broken promise from candidate Obama as CEO of USA Inc. He did exactly the opposite of what he said he was going to do. Well, some might argue, well, you know, they are putting the codes on there. Again, you got to have special software for your smartphone. First, you got to have a smartphone, but then you got to have special software to tell what's in the food that you're buying. That's just too much. Why not just put it on the label? You know, put right out the ingredients like you have for all these decades, however they've been doing labeling of food ingredients and what have you. You know, so obviously there's something that they don't want you to know. And it's just so sad. It's just so depressing. It's just so depressing. Let's see, on Thursday, July 14th, this is the House of Representatives agreed 306 to 117 to move forward with changes to an amendment to an existing law that would overrule state GMO labeling laws, like the ones that went into effect this month in Vermont. The lawmakers' majority votes were strongly approved of by large corporations and food industry giants. Before heading to the House, the amendment to an existing older law was negotiated by U.S. Senate agriculture leaders Senator Pat Roberts and Senator Debbie Stabenow. After negotiations between Roberts and Stabenow, changes were approved by the U.S. Senate the week before they were approved by the House. The amendment was the vehicle to introduce the controversial national GMO labeling standard. The language changes were found in Senate Amendment 4935, the procedural action of substituting text in Senate Bill 764 with language agreed upon by Senator Roberts and Stabenow, according to FMI. The labeling law falls short of helping out poor and rural consumers without smartphones. Opponents to the law said. So poor people, you know, you don't deserve to know. You can't, it's your fault that you can't afford a damn smartphone, you know. It's your fault. Man, this is, I tell you, man, how much more evidence do we need to see to understand that the corporation of USA Inc. is not there for the good of the people, that they're there for the bottom line of corporations. That's what they're there for. That's clear. That's evident. It's clear. I don't think anybody could argue any differently. Not, you know, an honest person couldn't. So it's just sad, but you know, I just get so tired of all this depressing news. But I mean, we need to know what's going on. So let me see if I could find some more information to share with you, just to make how serious this is more clear to people. All right. Let me see. Here is something that came out about a week ago. Well, yeah. GMO labeling. What is the big deal? So let's go ahead and get a listen for those who don't understand what the big deal is about GMO labeling. Let me go ahead and cue this video up for you. Get past this commercial.
So Proposition 37 to label genetically modified foods lost in California by a narrow margin of 47% to 53%. Strange, since 9 out of 10 Americans want their GMO food labeled. But not strange, since the opposition and its donors, top biotech companies, outspent the supporters by $36 million, or 5-1. Supporters' top donors included such heavy hitters as Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps. As for these biotech companies, they're really just chemical companies, and that is their diabolical play. Monsanto makes Roundup. It kills plants. They also make the plants that cannot be killed by Roundup. This allows farmers to buy and plant Monsanto's seeds, then spray the shit out of them with Monsanto's pesticides to kill other plants. The problem is these weeds evolve quickly, so farmers need a different and stronger herbicide from the chemical companies, who also sell the crops resistant to that herbicide. And then weeds become resistant to the new herbicide. They need something stronger. It's chemical inflation. This year, the USDA greenlit the use of 2,4-D resistant corn and soy from Dow. This will allow farmers to douse their fields with glyphosate or Roundup, as well as 2,4-D. Now, if you haven't heard of 2,4-D for a while, it's because it's half of Agent Orange, which didn't work out so well for the Vietnamese. But this time, it's different, right? So the issue isn't banning GMO crops as many European countries. That's not American. It's just about labeling it. The consumer's right to know. We just want the same consumer protections that China and Russia have, who also label GMOs, as do these countries. But of course the U.S. doesn't, since the FDA, USDA, and Obama administration are all stuffed with Monsanto people. It's become a state-level issue, which is where the $45.6 million comes in. Because if an industry has to spend that much money to stop your right to know, they probably don't have your best interest at heart.
All right, so there you have it. Now, that was pertaining to California state law, and that was defeated. But as you heard from the story I was reading, Vermont had passed a very strong law in making the ingredients transparent, you know, in terms of identifying genetically modified organisms or food and what have you. So this bill that they passed trumps state law. It just makes the state laws all null and void. Now, see, this is a legitimate states' rights issue right here, not the illegitimate states' right argument that you will hear applied to the Civil War and Southern states' rights and, you know, how they frame it and what happened. No, it's not the same, but this is a legitimate states' rights issue. This is where you have a central government trying to dictate to people what they can and cannot do. So we live under a dictatorship of many people who are in the pockets of these corporations. And we know, well, a corporation exists solely to do what? To make profit. Now, So, if you have not heard of Dr. Tyrone Hayes, why is all this important? Why, if you've never heard of Dr. Tyrone Hayes, I did an interview with him maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. If you just do a search on blacktalkradionetwork.com, put in Tyrone Hayes. Now, he is the one who had done research on the effect of these different chemical pesticides on amphibians and what have you. And he was seeing that, you know, amphibians were displaying anyway, that males were turning into females. Okay, and that their sexual organs were ambiguous and what have you. And, you know, this is why I have said to people, before I even found out about this, you know, I have never been one to judge people or want to mistreat somebody because they quote unquote gay, because I don't know what happened to that person to make them gay. You know, I don't know if they was raped as a child and got infected by a demonic spirit. I don't know that. I don't know if they was born, you know, messed up with messed up genes and what have you. But all of these chemicals and Tyrone Hayes, Dr. Tyrone Hayes research, as well as other follow up research by other people in Europe, showed that these pesticides are causing, you know, humans to be messed up in the womb, you know, messing with their sexual genetics and what have you. So please check that out. But this is very important, man. This is very important. And nobody, you know, wants to look at all of the different ways that we are impacted by the food and our environment. They just constantly just want to keep poisoning the earth, poisoning the food, and in turn poisoning us. So this was very important. But, you know, President Obama shows once again that, you know, he was not a change agent. All right. All he was a proxy racist to provide more confusion about the system of racism and white supremacy. But this right here affects everybody, not just non-white black people. This affects everybody. This is an anti-people bill. And it's just damn sad. It's sad, man. It just really is. So, anyway, let me get ready to move on to the next story. Let me check the phone lines, see if anybody has any commentary on this recent atrocious bill that was put into law. But also, please check out Tando Radio Show's Wise Wednesday podcast for last week. Where Brother Davis was talking about, you know, the things that we can do to combat this, and they were talking about the different type of seeds that we need to purchase or obtain in order for us to grow GMO-free food for ourselves and for our families. All right, so just very, very important. All right, so let me take a station identification break, and when I come back, I want to talk about the new documentary film, which I'm reading. It's the first time a documentary has opened this particular New York Film Festival. But the director, the producer of the film, Selma, Ava DuVernay, she has produced this documentary called The 13th. It'll also be on Netflix. So I want to share information about that when we come back on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Oh,
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. This next story, I mean, I'm just really excited about this film to come out the 13th. Obviously, I have not seen it. I have not been able to screen it ahead of time or anything like that. So I don't know in terms of how I'll feel about it once I actually see it, which I will see it. If I just got to get a Netflix subscription just for the month of October, just so I can see this film, I'm going to do that. I'm just very excited because years ago, roughly over 8 years ago, I saw a video of Malcolm X giving an interview. And on more than one occasion, he has talked about the power of media to control the minds of the masses. And he gave different examples of how propaganda is used to promote racism, used to promote hate, but also how it can be used to promote love, how it can be used to promote, you know, understanding and you know, to promote education and what have you, to educate people or inform people. So that is why I'm very excited that somebody of her filmmaking stature, with the you know, name brand recognition that she has since coming out with that film Selma, and it's going to focus on the 13th Amendment, because see, we, too many of us, have fallen for the propaganda, and myself included at one time or another. But you know, we watch these Civil War movies like Glory, which was an excellent film, but it did not end slavery. And that's what we've been taught in school. That's what we've been taught through these propaganda films, is that the Civil War ended slavery, and Lincoln, you know, in Congress passed a law to outlaw slavery. And that is simply not true. It's not true. It is not true. But nobody, the masses of the people, I would say globally, not just here in the United States, but the masses of the people globally continue to believe this lie. Well, I'm very excited to see this woman, Miss Ava DuVernay, use the power of film to combat that lie. So I'm just happy, man. When we started New Abolitionist Radio over 3 years ago, you know, this was our goal, was to push the 13th Amendment to the forefront of consciousness so that people won't continue to believe a lie, so that they will know exactly what it is that we're facing and act accordingly. I mean, just mass incarceration just does not convey the horrors and exactly what's going on, because it just makes it sound like they're locking up a whole bunch of people. But there's a damn reason they're locking up a bunch of people. And what are those reasons? Well, when you use the term slavery, well, most people understand that slavery was all about producing profit for the slave owners. That's what's going on today. All right? So, the New York Film Festival, this comes to you from Deadline.com. It came out a couple of weeks ago, and I may have shared it on Facebook and Twitter. But I'm going to keep talking about it because I want people to see this film and support this film so we can see more films come out like it. But the New York Film Festival has tapped Ava DuVernay's documentary, The 13th, which chronicles the history of racial inequality in the U.S. with an in-depth look at the country's prison system, as the opening night film for its 54th edition. The festival to run, excuse me, I don't know what that means, the fest to run September, oh, the festival will be running through September 30th through October the 16th at the Film Society of Lincoln Center. It will mark the first nonfiction film to kick off the festival. The film also debuts on Netflix and bows in theaters on October the 7th. Please If you got a policy like me of never going to the movies, I can't even remember the last time I was in a movie theater. For real, I can't remember the last time. But I would go to see this film, but I don't like being around a bunch of people, because of things that happen out there. But anyway, I will watch this on Netflix. If I just got to set up a Netflix subscription for October so I can watch this film, I will do that. And I'll make sure they know that's the only reason I'm getting this subscription is because of you are debuting this film the 13th. All right, so it says the 13th, whose title refers to the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, outlawing slavery except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, examines through the country's history how the U.S. produced the highest rate of incarceration in the world, with the majority of those in prison being African American. While I was watching the 13th, the distinction between documentary and fiction gave way, and I felt like I was experiencing something so rare. Direct contact between the artist and right now, this very moment, said the New York Film Festival director and selection committee chair, Kent Jones. In fact, Ava is actually trying to redefine the terms on which we discuss where we're at, how we got here, and where we're going. The 13th is a great film. It is also an act of true patriotism. I don't know about all that. But last year, the New York Film Festival's opening night film was Robert Zemeckis' The Walk. All right, so again, I don't know how Miss Ava came across the information about the 13th Amendment, never abolishing slavery. I think that Michelle Alexander has mentioned this. I did not read her book, The New Jim Crow, but I think I have heard from others that she does mention the 13th Amendment in the book. If you've read the book and, you know, that's in there, if you recall that being in there, you know, you can give us a call, let us know. But I have also known that people like former members, I shouldn't call them former because you a Panther for life, but Black Panther Party members have talked about the 13th Amendment, you know, since the 1960s over time and what have you. Angela Davis is one specifically who I have heard talk about the 13th Amendment. Then there was a documentary made called Slavery by Another Name. It was a book, and then it later was turned into a PBS film, and I saw the film, but I can't recall if the 13th Amendment was mentioned. They do talk about the convict leasing system that was set up after the Civil War and what have you, but however she came into this knowledge about the 13th, I am so glad that she took that knowledge and did something with it, and now we have this documentary called the 13th that'll be coming out in October, which I plan to support as much as possible, as much as I can. I will definitely be pushing out the promos once they come out and just, you know, doing everything to make this film a success, and 'cause everybody needs to see it. Everybody needs to know we are not dealing with mass incarceration. We are dealing with the continuation of slavery. All right. Just like, you know, a person asked me, I had made a YouTube video, and I mentioned in this YouTube video about slave catching, modern day slave catching. And the person asked me, well, what is modern day slave catching? And so I had to come up with a quick, you know, definition of modern slave catching. I shouldn't assume everybody knows what I'm talking about. Modern day slave catching, I made up a definition for it. It is actually, just let me pull it up and read it instead of me trying to do it from memory. Let me go to my Facebook page because that's where I posted my definition for people, and you know, maybe this definition will help you explain to people why we call cops slave catchers, and you know, informing them about what slave catching is. Give me just a moment as I scroll down and find it. Okay, here we go. Someone asked me, what is modern slave catching? Here is the definition I gave to the gentleman who asked. Modern slave catching, quota-driven arrests meant to keep a constant flow of cheap and free labor to the jails and prisons and to provide job security for slave catchers, prison plantation overseers, and everyone else employed by the criminal and justice systems operating in the USA. And when I say criminal injustice systems, people might be confused by that, but we hear the term criminal justice system in America and whatnot, but all of these different systems on the state level, even on a county level, are all operating, you know, independently, even though they are supposed to be, you know, all based on the same laws and statutes and whatnot. But how they do in their day-to-day operations, is it can be different. So we have different particular justice so-called systems all across the United States of America. But that is what I call modern slave catching, you know. And I did not mention, but, you know, of course, is to provide profit for the slave owners. Do we have slave owners today, Scotty? Yes, we do have slave owners today. Well, who are these people? Well, these are the peoples that are invested in private prisons solely for the profit that is being generated off the bodies of captive human beings, either off of their bodies just being there or because they're also putting them to work for Fortune 500 companies. You know, I'm reminded again that, you know, it's a good thing that people, specifically black people, were moving to take their money out of Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, where, you know, what's been identified as white banks or European banks or American banks, whatever you want to call them. But most of these banks are invested in the private prisons. And we had long on New Abolitionist Radio been calling for people to take their money out of Wells Fargo, take their money out of Bank of America. But, you know, it took Killer Mike, the rapper, who was out there campaigning for Bernie Sanders, for him to do a video and ask black people to take their money out of white banks and put them in the quote-unquote black banks. But, you know, as we pointed out on Tando and what have you, it's still the same system. It's still the same system, y'all. Still regulated by the same damn people. All right? And so we hope that they won't, you know, be redlining and provide loans and stuff and not, you know, engaging in discrimination against black people because this is a quote-unquote black bank. We hope those things to be true, but what came to my mind is what you need to be asking them first and foremost is, are you invested in any of these companies that's utilizing prison slave labor? Because it don't matter if you take your money out of Bank of America or Wells Fargo, which we know are invested in the private prison companies, and then you move it to whatever the black bank name is, and they're invested in the same. Well, damn, you ain't done nothing, have you? You just did something that looked good, and you know, it's really just based in symbolism, but it ain't really a solution. Because your money is still being used to enslave people. Legal slavery. So those are my thoughts. Again, don't ever want to discourage black people from uniting and working together. Definitely don't want to discourage that, but let's think these things through. Let's make sure we gather all the information before we make a move and then think we done something and then we find out that damn, it's just a proxy racist still supporting the global system of racism and white supremacy. So that is I'm just very excited that this film will be coming out. Again, it will hit theaters on October, in the first week of October. It will also debut on Netflix So I'll probably watch it on Netflix since I do not like going around crowds of people. But anyway, it will also be opening up the New York Film Festival, which, by the way, reminds me, just in a couple of days, 2 days, I believe, is August the 3rd or August the 4th. But there will be 4 days of Fresh happening in New York City. And I'm talking about the Hip Hop Film Festival NYC. Go to the website, hiphopfilmfestivalnyc.com. Because Black Talk Media Project and Black Talk Radio Network is a media sponsor of that film festival that will be going down in New York City this week. They also have a Facebook page, so you can find out more information about that. The woman who put this all together, of course she had help with her team and what have you, but it's Charlotte Capers, who is a former client of mine, and also, you know, a fellow black independent black media producer. They have put out films on DVD, straight to DVD. They have distributed them over the internet and whatnot, and I believe this will be the first annual film festival that she has put together, again, along with her team. And we should have a representative there as the college student who interned with us through the Black Talk Media Project. He lives in New York City, and so he will be given, you know, passes and the VIP treatment and whatnot. And we'll be talking to him about his experience at this film festival. So again, that is coming up in the next couple of days. So if you're in New York City, it's still not too late to get your tickets and what have you. It's too late if you're an independent black media producer to submit your films or YouTube shorts or whatever you're working with, whatever type of media format you're working with. It's too late for that. There's always next year. But if you want to support independent black media, by all means, please support the Hip Hop Film Festival NYC that'll be kicking off this week. Again, Black Talk Media Project, Black Talk Radio Network is a proud media partner and sponsor of that film festival. All right, so let me see. We got about 3 more minutes to the top of the hour. I got a couple of more stories that I want to touch upon. Again, if you have any questions, comments, observations, you want to share news, you want to share, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to comment on air. The studio line is 704-951-5030, 704-951-5030. Also, Skype is Black Talk Radio Network. Send us a Skype contact request. We'll accept that request, of course, but that's another way that you can contact us. And definitely love to hear from the listeners and what their thoughts are. Again, not ever looking for 100% agreement. I don't think that's ever possible. I'm not wanting people to call in and say I agree with you, or I want to hear from you if you disagree with me and the reason why, because maybe you might change my perspective on something. So it's not about being right or wrong. It's about the dialogue. All right. So before I go to break, let me go ahead and take this call from area code 267. You're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, good afternoon, Scotty. Brother Ralph calling from Philadelphia.
Hey, peace to you, Brother Ralph.
Hey, couple of topics. I don't know if you brought them up. I tuned in sort of late, but I've been hearing some chatter, and I actually went to Snoop's to see if it was falsehood. And you know there's some pending childhood rape cases against Donald Trump?
Yes, I knew about that.
Okay. Yes, I mean, it's shocking that a lot of people haven't heard about this because, you know, if it was Bill Cosby or something like that, it'd be plastered all over social media, all over our mainstream
I have shared it. I have shared it, Brother Ralph, and people just didn't seem to be interested in what have you. But yes, it is true. It is not a rumor. It is a fact that a young woman who was a sex slave as a teenager by this billionaire by the name of Jeffrey Epstein, who is a convicted pedophile, who also has a private island, I heard. And guess who else has been visiting that private island for these sex parties? Well, we don't know if he engaged in it or not, but there is also a young woman who's saying the same thing about Bill Clinton. And there are reports that he is on Jeffrey Epstein's flight log for his private plane to his private jet over, I want to say, at least over 50 times, something like that, and that Bill Clinton was even ditching his Secret Service details so that he can go hang out with this pedophile by the name of Jeffrey Epstein. So, again, we know that Bill Clinton and Donald Trump are golfing buddies, so maybe they, go to these...
They're all from the same cloth. They have our people fooled, but they're all from the same cloth. He endorsed Hillary Clinton a couple of 8 years ago. So I'm telling you, they're all buddies. And Scotty, that's what I'm saying. A lot of my relatives and folks I know are all caught up in this political farce, man. Because what they did, when I seen that and I read this story, I didn't know about Bill Clinton, but I read that about Donald Trump. Now, this reminds me of the scam that went on with Barack Obama. Do you remember Larry Sinclair?
I heard about it. Yeah, I didn't really look into it that deeply.
He gave a Senate hearing from the floor under oath. This man, Barack Obama, was lovers. He copped cocaine for the man. The man, he gave him fellatio. I mean, this was a Senate hearing. So if they really wanted Barack out of there, like they said they claimed they did, they would have brought this stuff to the forefront and showed the video. Anybody can access that video. Larry Sinclair.
Yeah, I had heard the name. Yeah, this is what I think, Brother Ralph, what happens to a lot of people, particularly black people. Because we hear the excuse that, oh, that's from Fox News, or that's from the Daily Caller, or Rush Limbaugh say that. And they just assume that it's lies without ever really looking into it.
Right. I mean these things are out there. Okay? Now there's another report, and I don't know how true this is, but I'm getting this from people who look into these stories. I'm getting that there were 7,000 people, I'm not sure if they were all black or whatever, that died in police custody in the state of Texas.
Yes.
See, this is all major news that's being suppressed.
Yes, it is.
And that's why I say I can't look at nothing across the tube. I listen to you, independent black news media. I dig and I look for resources myself. But when you get a chance, Scotty, Google Larry Sinclair. He's in front of the Senate. Giving a statement under oath. So, I mean, man, this thing is really, so that's why when I seen that big DNC farce, and they got these so-called mothers of the movement, and it's nothing against them, they're victims. They're victims, they come from poor backgrounds, and they were paid probably some money to go up there, and Al Sharpton gathered them all together. He was the man that really gathered them together.
Brother Ralph, listen.
Yes, sir.
I understand the terminology in the context of white supremacy that all non-white people are victims. But then on the flip side of that, some of us are willing victims. And when I say willing victims, is we use our free will to help racist white people. Whether because we just want to be seen with them, or they're paying us, or they're giving us some kind of privilege. But listen, you still got free will. You know who you did not see on that stage? You didn't see Tamir Rice's mother on that stage, did you?
Oh, no. No, she wanted nothing to do with Ben Crook because she knew he was a joke.
Now,
she was Justin for her son.
I'm just want us to, you know, it's not that I'm attacking these women or anything like that. But look,
right.
These are tools. These are weapons of confusion that these racist white people are using against us. And so in war, you got to study the weapon that's being used against you so you can counter it. But I'm also tired of grown ass people making excuses for their behavior. You know, the white man made me do it. The white man ain't made you do shit. He made you an offer, and you made the decision to do something.
Right. Hey, look, you know what I heard my brother say today, and I thought it was so true, and it is exactly what me and you talking about. Since we know that we're being crucified as a people, that don't mean for us to go and get the cross and the nails to help them. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what I'm looking at today. We have so many willing participants to assist the system and their oppression of our people, man. And that's what angers me more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have all, like that fool from Milwaukee or Wisconsin, or wherever he's from, Clark.
Wisconsin. Yeah.
I mean, we have Charles Bart. We have these, oh man, I almost used that word now, and I don't know when to use that word, but we have them.
Proxies.
You know, you call them proxies, I call them something else. But we have them all over the place as willing participants, willing to go on here, get the wood, get the nails, get the hammer, and say, Pontius, look what we got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a sad situation that we're in, man. And it's like you know, the Klan just sits down and look at us. They just look at us. And like I said, man, that's another story coming out of Texas, 7,000 people.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that on New Abolitionist Radio on Wednesday night. That's one of the stories we've been sharing.
Okay. All right, man. So, no, I'll just call you and let you know I was listening. But people really need to hear this stuff, man.
Yeah, look up about Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton and the guy Jeffrey Epstein. Because, that's out there, too. That's out there, too. That it didn't get a whole lot of play either. But it was a young woman who said, who is also, now she ain't suing Bill Clinton, but she's telling her story, saying that Bill Clinton, you know, was one of them that had sex with her when she was a sex slave to this dude.
Well, you know, it's no secret that Bill Clinton's a trashy... No life. I mean, look, him and Monica Lewinsky, I mean, and you know, some fat, ugly young girl. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
He shows you what he's about.
Yeah.
He shows. And, he has no care. And our people just love him.
And Hillary Clinton has enabled his behavior because no self-respecting woman would stay with a man who has done all the things he's alleged to have done. You know, I couldn't. Look, I was in a relationship with my last baby mama. She cheated on me one time. Dude, I was out the damn door.
Man, I hear you, bro. I hear you. So, no, like you said, well, that's just a business partnership, those two. That is nothing more, nothing but a business partnership. But really, Scotty, once you see that Larry Sinclair video, and it's out there. It's been out there for years.
Yeah, I've heard about it over the years.
Once you see that, you'll see this whole political thing they're doing, nothing but a farce. And it's a shame that our people are so emotionally attached to it. We can't have Trump in there. We can't have Trump in there. I'm hearing this on every black talk radio station around this country.
Trump is the damn devil all of a sudden. I mean, he been a devil, but so is Hillary Clinton, and they got more blood on their hands than Trump does, as far as I know. You know, and so I, you know, I was thinking about this today as somebody cussed me out on Black Talk Radio Network because I shared on our Facebook page, I had shared something about President Obama signing something or doing something, and this person come, oh, y'all just think that President Obama can wave a magic wand and all this and that and blah blah blah, the typical excuses. And I said wait a minute, I said look, magic ain't real, but he could wave a pen and sign some executive orders, you know what I'm saying, and he ain't done that. But everything else, you know, he can do. But I was saying to him, now, how is it that President Obama can't get nothing done, but all of a sudden you think Donald Trump going to get in there and going to be able to do everything?
Let me tell you, and this is right with the Congress and the Senate, and I know a company right now, and I'm not going to say them across the airwaves, but I know a company right now, they're about to lay off all their engineers and get the firm out of India. They're about to get rid of all the American distributors and bring an international distributor over to oversee the equipment. I mean, get rid of all the engineers that go to these high-priced, no good learning institutions. Get rid of all of them and bring in engineers from another country. This PPP is starting to happen right now. And people are so dumb, they read this stuff, they don't even see it. It's happening right in front of them. Illegal immigrants will be there, no union, no benefits, no nothing. You know, we got people willing to do your job.
Hey, I was reading a story from the state, which is a South Carolina paper, and in the state, it was talking about this one firm that they do that cultural student exchange stuff. And they was using these kids from the Dominican Republic and one other Caribbean nation. Man, they had these kids working in Myrtle Beach as housekeepers, man, and no cultural exchange and just, you know, and people was getting paid off of these kids, man. And plus the kids had to pay to even be, their families had to pay for them to participate in this program that's run through the State Department. And then they being used as freaking slave labor down there in South Carolina.
There's a lot of human trafficking going on. There's so much dirt being going on, but yet we think Hillary is our savior, man. This situation is TPP and NAFTA. They gave America no borders. They was doing away with the union back then. Bill Clinton put it in the play. Obama just signed off. I think it was the North Atlantic Free Trade something agreement. This one was TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So you don't have any borders left. You have no borders left. This thing is coming to fruition right now. You have anarchy in those European countries where they're stealing their retirement, their 401ks.
Yeah, about to happen
here. Shutting
year.
Down. Letting them know that they can only be out a certain amount a day. Well, wait a minute, all my money's there and you're telling me I can only do this? So, man, we, you know, sometimes we have to just wake up and smell the coffee. This thing is about to come down in the next, I'll say, 2-3 years, where the mothers of the movement won't have y'all out there giving them standing ovations. You'll be... You know, and again, you know what, Scotty, I'm wrong. It's right. Some of our folks will never wake up, man. They'll never wake
up. Well, the only thing that I can give them a pass on is knowing that they are fed a whole bunch of disinformation through quote-unquote black radio. Which ain't really black radio.
Not they ain't mainstream. It's black.
Hey,
radio.
Let's call you it. It's black. Right. It's blackface radio. That's what it is.
Yeah, man, it's pretty bad. They got us out there worshiping these no good puppets, and it's sad. I listened to it, and a lot of the callers aren't as bad as they. I remember I used to call into a program back in 2007, and I let them know, like, wait a minute. They told me all politics is local, so I'm looking at Mayor Nutter, this all black city council. And I'm looking at these people, I said, these people ain't nothing more than slaves. So if all politics is local, why are we so excited about a black president? And then come to find out, that's all he was. He was worse than Nutter. At least Nutter. So I said, man, I said, And Ann Coulter, you can Google this. She was on a, and I mean, she's a racist piece of trash, but she tells you something. Because people were coming down on Michael Steele and the rest of them. And she said, well, look, let me tell you, our blacks are better than theirs. She was telling you something then. And even though it came out nasty, it came out vicious, and it came out racist, she was telling you something right to your face.
Their proxies are not as good as the proxies we have.
Boom, she told me, she said, I mean, this came out about 2007, 2008, and she was, oh my God, man. So, no, I had to just call this guy. Yeah. Wanted to bring up those few topics, man, because they are very important. But I know what you were discussing also is very important, but I'm just so sick and tired of our people being fooled.
Well, the only way for us to
Democratic Party, man.
Brother Ralph, you know, the only way we're going to facilitate the mass awakening that we need is for us to not just support the independent black media we have, but we need to expand it. Like, if all politics is local, we need a local independent black radio. You know, the Time for Awakening .com should be the premier source of news and information as a radio station in Philadelphia. Y'all should be competing with WURD, you know, and I know Brother Elliot got a lot on him losing just his parents, and I've been talking to him offline, but y'all need to get more hosts and programs for your station there in Philadelphia, man. Y'all are supposed to be the go-to source for news and information in Philadelphia for black people.
Especially when the grassroots organizations and most and you got and most of them been infiltrated by handkerchief heads too. So when they just say grassroots, you automatically think they're conscious, but they're just as bad as that. Well, I can't say that station, but they're just as bad as that local station, man. I mean, some of them verbiage and garbage and poison they be spewing. These people can't be informed. They don't even know what they're looking at. So it's a shame, man. But, yeah, hopefully we can step it up and get more programming through the week, because there have been, like, plenty of people saying y'all need to be on more than once a week. And I agree with them.
I mean, run the station just like we run this station. You know, we got more than one program on this station. So, you know, but that's, again, something I've been talking to Brother Elliot about, and he's going to implement it.
Okay. All right, Brother Scott. Well, I'm going to have a call in and add to the conversation, bro. And I hope you got my contribution.
Yes, sir. And we thank you for it.
Yes, sir. All right, you take care of yourself, Brother Scott.
You too. Thank you, Brother Ralph.
All right.
All right. Let me take a station identification break and kick some message music, give folks the time to get some water or use the bathroom if they have to use the bathroom, or also because I like message music. And so Sincere Naquari, a supporter of this network, has sent me music. And I like sharing that music from time to time. But when we come back on the other side, federal judges are hearing the one federal judge is hearing the argument on blocking the implementation of the North Carolina HB2 bill. Most people know it as the bathroom bill, but it has more to do with just what bathroom people are using. It allows for discrimination based on skin color, based on age, and based on whether or not you a male or a female. I mean, it's just a terrible, man. It's just a terrible bill all the way around, man. And so I just frustrated that most of the media, except for one article I came across that was published by this guy who runs the North Carolina Workers Justice Organization, something like that. And he is the only one I've seen that has pointed out all this other stuff in terms of workers' rights and not just focusing on the bathroom portion. And that just really has frustrated me to no end. And I have written I sent about 3 emails to people asking them, why are y'all only bringing up that portion, you know, about, you know, you got to use the bathroom according to what's on your birth certificate, all right? Why about all this other stuff? And so I finally got a reply from some staff member at the ACLU here in North Carolina, and I will share that email with you. Also, Russian war planes reportedly bombed a U.S. base in Syria. Again, what the hell are, I thought the American people said, no, we don't want to be involved in Syria. No, we don't want to arm them. But what do? They do whatever the hell they want to do. So tell me again, you know, tell me again how we are in control of this government, man. You elect these people, you vote for these people, but you do not control these people. Not at that level. All right, so want to definitely talk about that. And then, you know, example of proxy racism that a listener sent to me through the news, submit your news section on Black Talk Radio Network. It's just so sad. It's so sad. It's so sad to see black men claiming to be men. They made a point to say, I'm a man, and that's why I'm down with these racist white supremacists, and I'm joining this Confederate group. I mean, Jesus. Lord, man, people need some help out there. We need some, definitely need some mental health care. So anyway, those are some of the stories that I'll share with you. On the other side, you're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I broadcast this program every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, God willing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Give up on my way. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be crazy?
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Wouldn't it be crazy? Don't you step for crazy?
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and Mr. Christian Champagne.
I'm a Dubai ranking perfect. I'm a Becca Tilling and Dixie. Cause I know Obama, y'all will tell my mama I'm moving east to D.C. I'm a Dubai ranking perfect. I'm a Becca Tilling and Dixie. Cause I know Obama, I'm gonna make some money. Mama, you gon' be proud of me.
You have to ask yourself, what is a state? Then you have to take an inventory of every single thing that goes into the making of a state. Let's start with a safety pin. You hold your child's diaper together. If you got to buy a safety pin from your former colonial master, then you are a liar when you say you built a state. You're a sham. If you're going to build a state, then everything that's needed to maintain that state should be ready. You should have trained people to handle your harbor. Your people, not Martin's.
I'm a Dubai ranking perfect. I'm a Baker Tilling in D.C. Cause I know Obama, y'all will tell my mama I'm moving east to D.C. I'm a Dubai ranking perfect. I'm gonna make a killing in D.C. Cause I know Obama, I'm gonna make some money. Mama, you gon' be proud of me.
When you don't have all those things functioning for you in your hands, you're an imitation of a state. We have done the wrong thing with our children. Let them have that choice about what to study. You study what we need. A few years ago, when I was in East Germany, a German teacher told me, he said, I know right now how many refrigeration workers I'm going to need 20 years from now. So I turned to the school and said, turn them out.
I'm gonna make a killing in D.C. Cause I know Obama, y'all will tell my mama I'm moving east to D.C. I'm a Dubai ranking perfect. I'm gonna make a killing in D.C.
Cause I know Obama gonna make some money. Mama, you gon' be proud of me. I'ma do my right in front of me. I'ma beg to kill in D.C. Cause I know Obama, y'all gon' tell my mama I'm moving east to D.C. I'ma do my right in front of me. I'ma make a kill in D.C.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Please check out the beats, the beat tape lectures, God Life Beats, sincerenaquari.com. Check them out. Support our independent artists out there. So let me move on to the next story. Oral argument started today in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, as the bathroom portion of the bill is being challenged in court. Now, after I read this, I will share with you what a staff member of the ACLU here in North Carolina sent me when I questioned, why are y'all only bringing up, you know, this part that's supposed to affect, you know, gays and lesbians and transgender people? And I mean, it's far more atrocious things in that bill than just that. I didn't say it that way. Of course, I was, you know, because I wanted some information, so I was being nice. But anyway, this article, which is published on the newsobserver.com, which is a North Carolina-based website, it says, as legal bills for the governor and legislatures defending House Bill 2 climb above $176,000, it ain't their money, it's our money. I mean, damn, man, this is what I be talking about, man. When we say we ain't participating in this government or this system and all this and that, we all participating. We really are. We are. But, you know, unless we want to go to jail or something like that, you know, they're taking our money before we even see it. Before you even cash your check, the federal government, the state government already then got theirs. And this is what they doing with the money they taking from us. So anyway, let me continue on. Lawyers arguing for and against the controversial law will step into a federal courtroom on Monday, that's today, to begin a judicial process of great interest to people outside this state. North Carolina has been an epicenter of the national debate over transgender rights since Charlotte adopted its ordinance barring discrimination against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people, and the state responded by adopting HB 2 to overturn the city's ordinance. On Monday, U.S. District Judge Thomas Schroeder will hold a hearing in federal court in Winston-Salem on a request from the first challengers of HB 2 to block the law until they can make their case at trial. The U.S. Justice Department has made a similar request in a lawsuit that in many ways mirrors the arguments brought by the first challengers. Three transgender residents, a lesbian law professor at North Carolina Central University, I think that's a HBCU if I'm not mistaken, and a lesbian couple in Charlotte. The General Assembly adopted HB2 in an emergency session on March the 23rd. It cost $42,000 to bring lawmakers and their staffs back to Raleigh, and Government Pat McCrory signed the bill into law hours later. Again, as I reported last week, this has cost Charlotte $100 million as they lost the 2017 All-Star Game. The racist suspect that I don't even listen to his program no more, to be honest. But there was a sports radio station that I listened to from time to time, and this one particular program is a white identified Hispanic by the name of Frank Garcia, who's a retired NFL football player, and he's hosting this show. And I can tell over the years that this dude is a conservative, he's a right winger. But the garbage he was putting out last week as it relates to HB2 and what have you, I mean, he was just going overboard, and he was talking this mob rules crap. And I sent him a picture on Twitter. I was like, yeah, I heard you on the radio, you know, talking about what happened to majority rule, which is code for mob rule. And I was like, I know you not from this area. I know, you know, you grew up in Washington or whatnot, but, you know, around here, we don't tolerate white mobs. And I sent him a picture of Robert F. Williams and Mabel Williams holding a gun, which was on the book, Negroes with Guns. And I said, maybe you need to read up on the history. If you think mobs are going to rule around here, don't think it ain't going to be no resistance to your mob rules. So, you know, I like, man, these people, man, they just getting emboldened. They just really getting emboldened. So anyway, as I stated, I was frustrated, been frustrated, that every article I read, all it's talking about is the bathroom portion. Okay? And it has much more egregious things in the bill. So this is what I sent to them. I said, greetings. I read that the ACLU is in court today to challenge HB2. However, I am only reading about challenges to the bathroom portion of the bill and nothing about challenges to the other discriminatory provisions that leaves non-whites, women, and older workers without state protections from discrimination by employers. Is anyone that your organization knows of challenging these portions of the bill, or is the entire bill being challenged, or just the bathroom portion? Thank you for any clarity you can give. So this is what he said. He said, hi, Scotty. Thank you so much for your question. Yes, today's hearing was only about the bathroom provisions, but the court has scheduled a trial to begin November the 14th on the other provisions of the law we are challenging. The one you reference where the state removed people's rights to sue in state court over wrongful termination was actually restored by the legislature in the final days of their session. I hope this is helpful. Please let me know if you have any other questions. And so that is from a staff member of the North Carolina ACLU. Now, see, that's something I didn't know, that they did get some pushback and that particular protections were restored, but they are challenging the other provisions of the law. So we'll see what the outcome is for today. And this is just on the backdrop of the federal court's ruling that the voter ID law here in North Carolina was intentionally passed, specifically passed, to disenfranchise African American voters. And they overturned it on that basis. And so these races here still ain't giving up, and they gonna try to push it to the Supreme Court, because that was the federal appeals court. So we'll see if the Supreme Court, the SCOTUS, takes up the case, or what happens if the ruling will stand, barring this or getting rid of this bill that they admitted. I mean, I seen the one dude, he was a North Carolina Republican Party member. I don't think he held any elective office, but he was in the Republican Party. And I remember this dumbass giving an interview on the Daily Show, and you know, he basically said that, yeah, we gonna really get them with this bill. And the people, he was trying to be codified, but it was apparent that he was talking about black people. You know, he certainly wasn't talking about disenfranchising white folks, but he's talking about disenfranchising others, the non-whites and what have you. So they admitted to this, man, and it was admitted to on the state floor. So this is what we dealing with. This is the level of activity of racism and white supremacy that we are facing here in North Carolina. So we'll continue to monitor the situation. I don't have any other choice, because I'm directly impacted by what these races do here in the state. All right, so the next story that I want to move to, let me check the phone line, see if anybody has any questions or comments. Okay, we are clear. Again, anytime you want to chime in with a question, comment, observation, hit us up, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. Our studio line is 704-951-5030, and the Skype is Black Talk Radio Network. Before I move to the next story, concerning the Russian war planes reportedly bombing a secret U.S. base in Syria, just want to remind you that you can subscribe to the website, blacktalkradionetwork.com. You can never miss a blog post, never miss an announcement or a post about an upcoming program on the network by subscribing. We have on our website, on most of the pages, but primarily on the front page of blacktalkradionetwork.com, there's a little box that'll be on your right that says, you know, subscribe, and you just enter your email address and it will deliver those posts to you by email, so you know you can keep up with what's going on the network. And remember, the best way for you to help us to spread the information and the news from a truly independent black perspective is by you telling other people about Black Talk Radio and directing them, you know, to tune in if they got a smartphone and they want to, you know, get the tune in app on their phone so they can listen to the station in their car or wherever they may be, or, you know, tell them about the website and how it adapts to any kind of device you're using, whether it's a iPad or you know, a smartphone or a desktop computer. It will adapt to whatever you're using. So help us spread the word about Black Talk Radio Network by just telling your family members and your neighbors that there is a independent news source for black people globally here, you know, on Black Talk Radio. All right, so let me move on to this next story. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I thought it was interesting. This came out about a week ago, but, you know, again, you didn't really hear anything about it on corporate state media, I should say, but on military.com, they reported on July the 22nd that Russian warplanes reportedly bombed a secret military base in Syria used by elite American and British forces last month. The Wall Street Journal reported Thursday that the Russian strike on the CIA-linked site was part of a campaign by Russia to pressure the White House to agree to closer cooperation in the Syrian skies, U.S. military and intelligence officials said. Let me tell you, that's bullshit, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I've been following this story. Not only me, Dave has been following what's been going on in Syria, and the Russians have been trying to coordinate with them. A Russian airplane was actually shot down by Turkey, okay, claiming that it violated their airspace, but they did not violate their airspace. And people say that this is because they were targeting the terrorists that supported by the CIA. Again, I'm not talking about no conspiracy theories. This stuff has been out there for a while. Just because it ain't on MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, or whatever, don't mean that these reports aren't credible. But the CIA is sponsoring one group of terrorists while the Pentagon is sponsoring another group of terrorists. And at one time, both of these groups of terrorists, both supported by agencies, a part of the U.S. government, have been funding these terrorists. I mean, this is old hat, man. This is old tactics that they have used for a very long time. Again, they created Al-Qaeda. They funded Al-Qaeda to do what? To oppose the Russians in Afghanistan and what have you. And we've been hearing all of this rhetoric about, I mean, this nonsense about Donald Trump and this Muslim family. Let me just tell you the truth real quick about that Muslim family and their son. You know, everybody want to, oh, he made the ultimate sacrifice and Donald Trump shouldn't talk about them. And even though they was attacking Donald Trump, you know, not that I'm taking up for Donald Trump, but give me a quick second. I'm having some issues with some equipment. Let me take a quick break and I will be right back. I apologize. I'll be right back.
Oh, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be crazy? Would you still amaze me?
All right, sorry about that interruption there. I had some stuff going on in the studio. But, yeah, it's not that I'm defending Donald Trump, but, you know, I'm just like Brother Ralph. I'm tired of the freaking nonsense. I'm tired of the fake, phony controversies or all of this political theater. And then, you know, people, oh, how dare Donald Trump talk about these people and whatnot. But you know what? You know, hey, and then they were complaining. I was seeing people complaining because apparently, I haven't seen this clip yet, but apparently at the DNC convention, you had a Medal of Honor winner, or, you know, who was awarded the Medal of Honor. And I think it was a black soldier. I'm not sure, but, you know, he was getting booed on stage and whatnot. And so this person who, people send me friend requests, don't mean I know them all on social media or whatnot. And so, but anyway, I saw a post where he was talking about, you know, basically the talking points. Oh, Donald Trump, the sacrifice these people made for our liberty and freedom. I like, look, that's just garbage. That's garbage. The truth is that this Muslim soldier died for racism and white supremacy, global domination. That's why he died. He ain't die for the world's to get rid of the world's largest prison slave population. He ain't die for their freedom. All right. He ain't die for anybody's liberty to be driving or walking without being murdered by police or snatched up into slavery over some victimless, nonviolent, so-called drug crimes. So, you know, miss me with all of that. No, they're fighting for our freedom and liberty, and they made the ultimate sacrifice. And that's all nonsense. Now, I can't speak for him personally, but I know when I went in the military, I didn't go in there to defend your freedom or your liberty. I went in there for some college money, just plain and simple. That's the only reason. Well, also, I wanted to see some of the world and get out of this little small town or rural area that I live in. And but I absolutely love it here now. But you know, when you're a young person, you want to travel, you want to see the world, and you know, I can also get some college money, and hopefully I won't, you know, get sent to war. But I did get sent to war, all right. And it changed me. It really did. And you know, I came to the realization that, you know, I'm just here as a pawn of global racism and white supremacy. And I wasn't even using those terms then, but I, you know, pretty much understood that, you know, I was over there for the wealthiest people on the planet, because they got a dispute with Saddam Hussein, who has a dispute with Kuwait, who Kuwait was stealing their oil from Iraq using a method called slant drilling, where, you know, you drill at an angle right at your border when you're really reaching across the border. The fake borders made up by white supremacists, by the way, because Kuwait was part of Iraq. These are all things I started looking up and researching after my experience in the Gulf War. But ain't no soldiers dying for none of us. They ain't keeping us safe. Yo, if they're keeping us safe, then explain to me what happened in Orlando then, huh? Explain 9/11 to me then, if they keeping us so damn safe. Explain any of these attacks. They ain't keeping nobody safe. You can't keep a person safe. I'm not safe. You're not safe. You can take things to try to minimize, you know, attacks and stuff on you, but ain't nobody safe nowhere on the planet, especially with these people that's in charge. No, ain't nobody safe, and ain't nobody dying or fighting for us. So just get that nonsense out your head right now, because it ain't happening. He did not die in Iraq, which they invaded on a lie. All right. So, and then, I mean, just the nonsense of his family there supporting Hillary Clinton, who voted to send their son to Iraq based on a freaking lie. Just the nonsense, man, the nonsense, the theater that's going on. He ain't die to protect his fellow soldiers from being raped by other fellow soldiers. I mean, rape is rampant in the United States military. And I refuse to buy into this garbage, man, and I refuse to go along with it. You can call me unpatriotic all you want to, because that word don't mean nothing to me. Don't mean jack. All it is a term they came up with to label people and manipulate people. I owe no allegiance to this corporation of the United States of America. None whatsoever, because they don't have an allegiance to me. They don't give a damn about us. They are the source of our problems. And I'm talking about everybody, not just black people. Everybody. So, you know, I'm just so sick of this, man. And then people falling for the okey-doke. Donald Trump's such a terrible person. Look at he talking about them people, and their son died. Well, that's it, their damn son's decision. And no, nobody send him over there and make him do it. He did it for the money. He ain't do it for freedom and liberty of no Americans. And he definitely ain't keeping us safe. If anything, you're making us more susceptible to attacks over there, killing all them people. Man, get out of here with that nonsense. So anyway, I ain't mean to go off on that tangent, but this is all nonsense. It's talking about, despite the fact that some forces could have been killed by the rushing bombing of this secret site for the CIA and Pentagon. Again, this is where they're staging their terrorists at. ISIS, al-Nusra, which al-Nusra is the group that John McCain was meeting with over there in Syria. Remember, he flew over there to Syria and he was taking pictures with them people, and some of them people was in al-Nusra, which is an al-Qaeda affiliate. And now al-Nusra is saying, oh, we no longer are a part of al-Qaeda, we're just on our own. So, you know, yeah, you can give us some of them U.S. weapons and what have you. Man, this is all theater, man. Why do we have people trying to overthrow Syria? Syria ain't done nothing to the United States. They ain't done nothing to us. Did they attack us on 9/11? No, they did. Did they fund any of the people who allegedly was involved in 9/11? No, they. That would be Saudi Arabia, which ain't nobody doing nothing to them. So this is all garbage, man. So what the hell? It's the United Barack Obama, CEO of USA Inc., so-called commander-in-chief, and his cabinet, and Miss Hillary over there. They, you know, they don't care nothing about the rule of law. We, you know, we've heard that from him a lot about, oh, the court has made his decision, the jury has spoken, you don't have to like them letting these racists get away with murdering kids, but dude, we are a nation of law and order, and we must respect, you know, the decision of the jury and all that nonsense. But they don't care nothing about no law and order. They don't. Man, they've been bombing the hell out of civilians for God knows how long. They don't care about no law and order. But the American people, I remember, en masse turned out and said, we don't want nothing to do with Syria. No funding the terrorists to overthrow Syria. None of that. Just you know, we've had enough. But they just keep on doing it. Why? Because they got willing pawns who, for college money, like me, are willing to render service in aid of racism and white supremacy. Again, I'm throwing myself in there. I'm not above criticism. I made that same damn mistake. So, thought that was pretty interesting as things seem to be heating up with Russia, not only in Syria, but also at Russia's borders, as NATO has, I talked about in a story a week or so ago, using five divisions who are doing these quote unquote training exercises. And I mean, those are direct threats, man. Those are threats to Russia. Who is Russia? I mean, what countries have Russia invaded? Again, people, as we hear these things about who's good and who's evil and who's a thug and who's not, think about what's the only country that's invading and overthrowing other countries. Who is the global arms dealer more than anyone else on the planet? That would be the USA Inc. So don't be blinded by this phony nationalism and all of that. You know, I'm only aligned with people who are aligned with me. And it is clear the United States government is not working in the interest of quote unquote Americans. So that's a story to check out. The last story. Let's get to this last story. Coming up here at 6 o'clock p.m., stay tuned, Tando Radio Show will be on air, rounding out our last live programming for this date, August the 1st, 2016. Let me see. This is the last story. I want to let y'all listen to this video about this these black men joining this Confederate group down there in Georgia. I believe it's in Georgia. And, you know, this they're primed to become proxies of racism, man. And, again, I know who's the source of racism and white supremacy as a system. And that would be white supremacists. But at the same time, they are not able to do what they do by themselves. If I just figured that half of all white people on the planet are racist, white supremacists, that would be 9% of the world's population. How in the hell do you 9% control everything without the majority helping them? We help them. Nobody, I'm not going to say nobody, but a lot of people just don't want to address that. They want us to think that black people are like little monkey children who aren't in control of themselves or their own faculties and can't make good decisions. I mean, it's everything the white supremacist thinks about us, that we're mentally deficient, we're cowards, we have no backbone, we're intellectually inferior. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that non-white people help white supremacists because they want to be rewarded by these people. Perhaps they are cowards. You know, they think it's better to join them than fight them and what have you. Well, again, if an army is deploying a weapon against you, you better understand how to disable that weapon, how to make it non-effectual against you. You just cannot ignore any weapon on the battlefield, or, I mean, you might as well just give up and raise the freaking white flag and say, I surrender. It's time out for excuses for people helping racists. Again, I'm not talking about, you know, you paying taxes because they taking them from you. They putting you in jail or whatnot if you don't pay your taxes. I mean, look what they did to Wesley Snipes and Erykah Badu on them taxes and enslaved them over that. So I ain't talking about that. But I'm talking about where we help, where we go on TV and we lie on a pan-Africanist leader of an African nation like Muammar Gaddafi, and we tell a whole bunch of lies, and then, you know, we tell people why we must attack and overthrow this country, and it's all based on lies, like America can be humanitarians or something. I mean, that's an oxymoron. So we help it, then we accept our reward, like the black a woman who's in the Navy who got some kind of award from the proxy President Obama for her role in the operations against destroying Libya. which resulted in tens of thousands of black people being hunted down and murdered by the racist Arabs that the Obama administration used to overthrow that country. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about me going over there to Iraq during the Gulf War and helping these races set up a communications network so they can coordinate among each other how many non-white people they're going to kill. That's what I'm talking about, direct help. Not indirect help. I'm talking about we as managers on a job, and we see black people being discriminated against. Instead of trying to help them, we act like monkey don't see nothing. We don't see nothing. My name is Bennett and I ain't in it. But you are in it, because you observe an injustice. And if you don't stand against it, well, like Malcolm X said, well, not Malcolm X, but Martin Luther King said, a threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Next is going to be you. Then who going to stand up for you and help you out? You don't deserve nobody standing up for you and helping you out, because you didn't stand up for the last person who needed your help. I'm tired of hearing about white supremacists like they almighty freaking gods of the freaking universe just because they can kill a whole bunch of damn people with the help of non-white people, of course. Don't make them gods. Don't make them infallible. But if we could just focus on our own behavior and come up with a code that says, don't help white supremacists mistreat anyone. I don't care if it's a white person that the white supremacists want to mistreat. Don't help them. Then I remember, you know, hearing about that on the radio program of this black woman saying how she was helping the white people on her job pile all this work and set up this white woman they had a disagreement with or didn't like or whatever so they could fire her. And you helped them. And you didn't see anything wrong with that. So then why would anybody help you? Why should they? That's how you operate. Come on now. We have free will, and it is time out for excuses. The white man made me do it. He just so damn powerful. He could just take my job away and my butter biscuit rations. And you know, I love butter biscuits. They taste so damn good. Can't do without them. So I got to do what I got to do. Man, it's time out for that. The only way that racism and white supremacy will be dismantled is when we stop helping them. Now, on the indirect ways, like, you know, putting money in our banks, and the bank is investing in racism and white supremacy through prison slavery, well, you can pull your money out that bank. Go find a credit union. But first, ask the managers of the credit union, the president or whoever, what they are investing their money in. If you're going to pull it in a black bank, you better ask them the same. So there are things we can do to minimize that kind of indirect support. But don't make no mistake, I'm talking about direct support. When we go on TV and we, as a black man, call black children scum that need to be eradicated, man, come on. How do you ignore a weapon like that? How do you ignore a weapon like that? They looking to recruit proxies like that. If you think I'm lying, even the white racist who's a wannabe supremacist, because ain't nothing supreme about him, he ain't got no more resources than anybody else, and all he's got is the myth of white supremacy, thinking his white skin makes him, you know, superior to other people. But damn it, you living in a damn trashy ass trailer park and on food stamps. What's so superior about you? But even they will utilize proxies. Let's take a listen to this video.
What's your name again?
I'm Jerry Davis.
And your
name?
And
I'm Alex Gregory.
And then what are you going to say when people say, man, y'all are crazy about a bunch of coons? What is your response?
I'm just being a man.
What about you?
I'm just a man of America. That's it.
All right. You know, if I had an extra flag, I would give it to you.
Hey, we got one.
Oh, you got one? Hey, he gonna give you one.
Oh,
woo!
Y'all mind representing Alabama?
I'm from Alabama. I'm from Florida.
Hey, you from Florida?
I'm from Florence, Alabama. I did move here to Tupelo. Alabama boy.
Alabama boy. Oh, what part of Alabama you from?
Florence.
Florence?
Hey, I was from Florence.
I'm from Florida,
too. Absolutely. I'm from the west side. I don't want anybody to see
you. Well,
you ain't on
join.
Mobile Street, are you?
Mobile.
Y'all gonna have to join.
Talking about
that
muscle show?
Muscle show.
You know what he's South
of? Only you two.
All right. Hey, he's giving the Alabama Confederate flag.
Yeah.
Now, I like
that.
That's
an Alabama battle.
Is it?
Yeah. All
right. Hey, I like that. Hey,
I got it. Any of y'all be interested in some flags?
I got you. Yes, sir.
So where does the flag represent to you?
Well, to be honest, I never really took it into consideration.
I'm ready to leave. I got nothing.
The way I grew up, I grew up rough and violent, so I never. Flag that I grew up with was Piru, so I grew up, you know, initiating in gang. So what that meant to us was usually unity. You know what I'm saying? As one, as a whole. So, but nowadays there's no such thing as, hey, I'm a blood and I'm white, or I'm blood and I'm black. It's, hey, we all a people, so we do everything as one, you know what I'm saying? Fuck the government.
So it's
fuck the government.
So always.
Hey, John, yeah. You got a flag. You join our group, we're going to convert you to crack.
Call me black man.
He's a black man.
He said,
well, yeah, he said call him black man.
Ain't no red, they call me black.
Well, you in the club now.
That is just so freaking sad, man. That is so sad. He admits he doesn't even know what the freaking flag represents. It's the battle flag of racism and white supremacy. A bunch of pole cracker racists who didn't even own any enslaved Africans, but they had a dream to one day own some enslaved Africans. And that's why they joined the Confederacy. And this man doesn't know that. He doesn't know that. And he's ready to join them. Look, they making him an honorary white. You know, we gonna call you a redneck. And now he's like, oh, I'm a blackneck. Again, I don't know what the education level of these two men are, but obviously they are very ignorant and they are very confused about racism in this country. You unify with some crackers around a flag that stands for the enslavement of human beings. It's crazy, man. And it's just, I mean, somebody in this man's family need to sit him down in front of a computer and give him a freaking history lesson. But again, this is proxy racism on a lower level. It's not different. It's not any different than the proxy racism at the highest levels of government or what have you, but it's still proxy. It's proxy racism at a lower level. This fool. Taking their flag. And he mentioned, what, he from Alabama? What did Brother Ralph call in a report? And we'll be talking about that story on New Abolitionist Radio. 7,000 people have died in jails in Alabama. And you out here with these redneck racist crackers fellowshipping. Come on, people. This kind of behavior has to be discouraged. I don't know, we had to come up with some carrots or some sticks. I don't know what it's going to take, but this cannot be tolerated. This sort of activity, this is why they continue to do what they do. They do it because we help them do it. And that's just the God's honest truth about it. Ain't no way 9% of the world's population can dominate the rest of the globe unless a significant number of the majority is helping the minorities do what they do. So on a global scale, racism and white supremacy as a system could not exist if non-white people were not helping them. That's just simple logic. Anyway, that's my program for today. Want to thank Brother Ralph for chiming in and bringing that news to our attention. The person who shared this video with me, thank you for sending that in. I will be back on air tomorrow, which is Tuesday, with another episode of Black Talk Radio News. But make sure that you subscribe to the network, because I know Change Matters Solutions comes on at 2 o'clock tomorrow. So make sure you subscribe to the network via email, and that way you'll never miss an upcoming program. With that said, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., that we don't have anybody fighting for our freedoms and liberties, so we're going to have to fight for our freedoms and liberties our damn self. And you should never be depending on somebody else to stand up for you. You got to stand up for your damn self. All right, y'all be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.